The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by BRB Homes. BRB Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let BRB Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Big News Coming Soon podcast. And this week I'm coming to you live from County Dublin. And a few moments ago I put a photo up on my Instagram page of a mug of tea and the corner of a tulip and a bit of a garden, and my inbox has gone
blew up
crazy. Oh my God, you're in Dainty's house. You're in Catherine's house.
That's so funny.
I'm in Catherine Carton's house, otherwise known as Dainty Diaries.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me in your house.
You're so welcome. You're the first man to be in my house in a long, long time.
Well, now. Let me just get comfortable here. Let's start with, where did Dainty Dress Diaries come from?
That started back, I'm going to say like 2013-ish. So back then, you couldn't just be yourself. You couldn't be CatherineCarton.com. Every blogger had to have a name. So you had like your SoSumi and you had all of that. So you weren't like a name. So I remember it was actually a girl called Anya who I worked with. And I was like, I want to start a blog, but like, what would my name be? And I was like, at the time I wanted to write about, all I wore was like vintage, like tea dresses and stuff. And I wanted to share kind of like a bit of fashion and stuff. And she was like, oh, something about dresses. And I was like, well, I'm short, so it would be petite. And then the name Dainty came. And then we put Diaries on the end so that we wouldn't constrict ourselves into a box when it came to content. So that's where Dainty Dress Diaries came from.
And have you kind of lost the dress now? Is it?
Yeah. Oh, sure. I'm in leggings and all now. I'm in Crocs. I'm in.
You look wrecked.
Yeah, not in a dress.
No, today. But I just mean most people now know you as Dainty Diaries.
Yeah, so I scrapped. So I actually worked for a fast fashion brand for years and I kind of saw how bad it was. And because I do a lot of, you know, upcycling furniture and I try and kind of encourage people to do that, it was a bit of a conflict, me kind of showing up every week with a fast fashion dress. So then I leaned away from that and me as a person kind of stopped buying shite basically in dresses and things like that. I still love them, still get the odd one, don't get me wrong, but not at the pace it was. And then I was like, if I want to create content around fashion, it's very hard to do that when it's not fast fashion. So yeah, I kind of just dropped that.
When you were growing up, did you have an interest in making things?
Yeah, I did. But do you know what? And you're a similar age to me, aren't you?
I'm 38.
I'm 35. So school was art on a Friday. So creative things. Like, I look at my niece and nephew nowadays, and they have the crack in school. Coming out, art is every day, and they're doing nature walks and they're doing all of this. When we were at school, it was, you sit down there now and learn maths and Irish. I can recite probably an Irish poem, but I can't speak Irish. Mm. And art was a treat on a Friday afternoon. So it was never, not that it wasn't encouraged, it was seen as like a luxury.
Art in our school was literally, you put paint on the table and they were given a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And have at it.
Yeah.
And it was a break for the teacher probably more than the pupil.
But do you remember, I don't know if you've got to do it, junior and senior infants, there was a Wendy house in the classroom, and it was full of toys, and you had 10 minutes before school started to play in the Wendy house. But they got you so hyper, and then it was like, sit down and stare and colour and write. And I was like, you went from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would have been. I would have been making Barbie houses out of shoeboxes. It was very much like you had to use your imagination with things. And I think that's, like, we were, all I wanted as a kid was like a Sylvanian family's fancy house and whatever. And we, like, I don't come from money at all, but none of us did in the 80s. And you would have to like make a shoebox and use your imagination. You didn't just get handed the Sylvanian.
Everything in our school was made out of egg cartons.
Yeah.
It was like, bring in egg cartons and we'll make something.
Bring in toilet rolls and cans. Yes. Yeah. And we'll make some.
Toilet rolls, egg cartons and milk bottles.
But you know what? I won't knock that, because I think that's where a lot of kind of ideas come from, is when you have to kind of use you're given something and you have to make it nice. I like how your brain has to think. Mm. Does that make sense? You're not just handed it.
I first came across you when you shared a video of mine or something. What was it again?
It was the bed sheet.
Oh, yes.
But you had, didn't you burn a bed sheet?
Yes, I put a bed sheet into the dryer for about a week and a half and nearly set the house on fire. And I came home and I was like, what's that smell? It's like a smell of burning.
You could have burnt the house down.
And I opened the dryer and literally my bed sheet was sparking like.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was it a cheap bed sheet or did I just have it on a high heat for 2 hours? But I went then and I did a story on it and I said, look, I'm after nearly burning my bed sheet.
Did someone send my reel to you? That's what I was thinking, how you might have come across it. Did someone send
that's
it to
it.
You?
Now I have it. You turned a bed sheet into a dress.
I turned like a pillowcase thing that I had, and I bought it. It was the wrong size for the bed. Good old Zara Home and the European measurements. And I was like, but I absolutely love this fabric. And I turned it into like a little night dressy.
Now
thing.
I have it. Yes.
Yeah.
So I went on my story saying that this was a hazard. And actually, when I did that, it kind of went viral. People were like, oh, influencer warns of fire.
Daily Mail.
Fire mishaps. And I was like, wow.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And then I started getting like a bit of a backlash over it. Like, you idiot. Of course they're going to go on fire.
But, oh, well, now, in fairness, I wouldn't have.
To be honest with you, 80% of people said, I never knew that was possible.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
And then, obviously, now I have it. Somebody sent me your video where you turned a pillowcase into something lovely. And then I went and I cut this bed sheet up and turned it into a...
it looks like a Viking-esque.
And would you believe, a lot of people think I'm gay anyway, but when I did that video, I got more people asking me, am I gay?
She sewed something
than ever before, and all I did was cut a sheet in half and wrap it around me, and they thought I had created some sort of fancy shirt, and they're like, oh yeah, he's definitely gay.
That's
definitely
so funny.
And then
people are ruthless online.
I shared it and I tagged you, didn't I? I said that it was inspired by you. Or I
you had my clip in it.
I should have watched it before I came in.
You had my
I'm
clip
such a featherhead.
In it, and at first I was like, who's this person trolling me? I thought you were trolling me for a second.
Okay.
Because I was like, first of all, it's rare that a man follows me. Yeah. So my Instagram following will be like 97% females.
Yeah, same.
And So when I saw a man followed me and then shared a reel, I was like, is this person trolling me?
Oh, no.
But then I copped that.
You were getting the boys.
I was getting the boys in the hood around. I was collecting the boys.
You were getting the boys and heading for Mayo.
Yeah, I was on that. What is it? Is it N4 to Mayo now?
Yeah, yeah. Boys, we're heading to Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you reshared it then. And then my inbox.
I thought it was funny then when I realised what happened with the bedsheet going on fire. I was like, that's very clever.
I was kind of trolling myself, really.
Yeah, it was good.
So you reshared it and then I shared it. And then my inbox went mental with people going, oh my God, Dainty Diaries and you would be such a lovely couple. And like for a week, there was this campaign for us to start dating. Did you get that?
Yeah, I did.
Are you just saying that to make me feel good?
No, I was saying to Alan, I have my DMs off, but I still get some. But it was people tagging me then in comments being like, oh my God, you too.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, we could just wear our bed sheets out in public together.
First date wearing two
bed sheets. First date with
bed sheets. Smell of burning off your man over there. Hey, I think you're on fire.
But yeah, isn't it mad how people... Do you get a lot of people trying to like marry you off?
Not so much trying to marry me off. Now, an awful lot of people said that me and you should start dating. That was the first time where people were kind of going, oh, you two be perfect together, blah, blah, blah. There was a bit with Classy Cody as well where the whole...
She is my ultimate girl crush. She is beautiful.
She's like unbelievable. Yeah, so we stayed in a hotel in Galway together in a twin room, I might add.
Yeah.
And sure, Jesus, the
lovely
whole
leash.
Country went bananas. Yeah.
It's shit that where you have a good friendship, but you're probably reluctant then to share because...
Of course, yeah.
You have people sliding your DMs wanting to know.
It's just a pity. I find it quite difficult. If you stay in a twin room with a lad, you're riding him.
Yeah.
Or else... Oh, yeah. No, you're riding him. And if you're staying in a twin room with a woman...
You can't win.
You're riding her. And then at the end of the day, you're riding no one.
Can we just clarify? There is no riding happening anywhere.
Yeah. Will you just calm down? Will you calm down with the riding? People can just be friends. Do you know?
No riding.
And then I have good friends that are afraid to go away with me now for a weekend.
Yeah. How do you find... So I don't share my friends who are not online. So like my friends who... Like I'm going to the pub after this. And like if I stopped sharing... them if I'm going for a pint with my bestie, whereas years ago I used to kind of, you know, tag them and share that I was out, and I stopped just because I was like, no, they have their 9 to 5, they don't want any hassle on the internet. And I'm just laughing because there's a cat after just looking at the window.
Oh,
at
my
you
God.
He's not my cat. I'll obviously share, like my girlfriend Karen, she like does, you know, the internet, and she shares stuff. So I don't mind like tagging.
She does the internet.
She does the internet.
Is she on OnlyFans?
She does the Facebook.
All right, just Facebook.
Lovely Girly Bits. Everyone probably follows her already.
Lovely Girly Bits.
And she's not an OnlyFans page.
Right.
She doesn't show.
Well, I have no interest in following her, so.
She does the beauty.
Oh.
But yeah, how do you find the balance between like your offline and your online stuff when it comes to friendships and things?
I have, yeah. So I think most of my, all my friends that aren't online know I'm not going to put them up. But then there's one or two that if you take your phone out of your pocket, they jump and they're like,
oh, okay.
What's going on? What are you doing? But no, I think they have a good grasp of me now. But I also have one or two friends who are online who don't want me to put them up.
Okay, cool.
Because...
you know what? Isn't that a kind of thing about like consent and stuff and digital stuff? Because I notice like with my niece and nephew and stuff, like I was doing their room makeovers and things like that. And like I'm very, you know, consent. What can I show? I try and hide the face. Mm-hmm. Don't show school uniforms, things like that. I'm very sketchy in how I share them, especially as they're getting older. But then her mom will be like posting pictures on Instagram, whereas I'm kind of like, oh God. Yeah. No one really asks, can I post that picture online? There's no kind of, just go for it.
I have a friend who's a singer and now he's like playing at parties and they're booking him for parties and asking if he can bring me.
Oh, okay. So he's not sharing anymore in case so you get like, commission.
He's like, I'm not even sure if they want me to play or they're just using me to get to you.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. That's funny.
I definitely have boundaries. So I don't put my family up.
Same.
I don't put, I don't put any of them up. I would talk about them from time to time, but I don't put pictures up.
And I don't think people mind. I think where people mind is when you go from sharing something to kind of suddenly stopping. Whereas I've never kind of shared my, you know, family or my if I'm dating anyone or anything like that. So I think if you don't share it, they don't miss it type thing. But people do. I do get a lot of messages being like, why are you single? How are you single?
Why are you single?
But why? Yeah. Why?
Where's
there's
the catch?
There's nothing wrong.
Where's the catch?
there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with the men of Ireland.
You're gay.
I'm probably gay.
Definitely. You have it written all over you. Look at those crocs.
Look at these crocs.
you have ornaments on your crocs.
They're called gibbets.
That screams gay. You're in the closet.
Yeah, I'm coming out of the closet. in my crocs.
Yeah. But do you know the thing that really annoys me about the whole you're gay thing is that really winds me up. Not because people might think I'm gay. I don't care what people think of me. But because...
It's really insulting to the gay community, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you slid into somebody's DMs who's struggling to come out...
Yeah.
And like maybe they've made the decision, right, I'm going to try and come out. And then they get a DM going, are you gay? Mm. And you go right back in. And like I've had this discussion with Paul Quinn in one of the seasons of the podcast where he was talking about coming out to his parents. And, you know, that's why I'm always telling people... It's not okay to ask somebody.
And it's a real schoolyard thing. I feel like that's what, when you're like late 90s, schoolyard, that was a slagging that would be thrown around like, oh, you're gay.
Yeah.
Or you sap.
Two of my best friends in the world are gay. And I know better than anyone the struggles that they've had through their lives. Like it's been absolutely shit.
I don't think people think a lot of the time before they kind of shoot from the hip.
I think, thank God, things are gone so laxy-daisy now where nobody really cares if you're gay.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's gone so relaxed, thank God, that the majority of people are just like, oh, sure, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're gay. But it's gone too relaxed now where people are asking you inappropriately.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a struggle there. There's still a struggle to come out.
It's like, I see that a lot with, like, some of my friends who... you know, are in relationships and people will be like, so when are you going to have a child? Or when are you going to get married?
That's a tough one.
Remove those converts. Remove that out of your vocabulary. Mm. Stop asking that stuff.
I was talking to a girl yesterday who was somebody advised her to freeze her eggs. Like somebody just said, oh, you need
my
to,
eggs are like you need to be stale.
You have a bug hotel on your...
I have a bug hotel, but my eggs are stale.
Cobwebs.
Oh my God, serious cobwebs.
But like this is another inappropriate conversation.
Yeah.
You know, this woman with two kids telling another woman, oh, you need to be freezing those eggs.
I had a woman say to me when I was in my, like, I think it was about 26, 27, and I was at a craft fair. My boyfriend at the time, it wasn't a great relationship. And she said, oh my God, you guys need to stop making these craft things and get cracking and start making kids. And I was like, if only you knew the absolute shit. I could not bring a child into this relationship. And you've just flippantly, as a stranger, said, you should. And she just, you just do not know what's going on behind
absolutely
a craft table.
Yeah.
And it's totally... inappropriate. But I do think a lot of people, when they say, oh, like, what's wrong with the men or what's wrong with you that you're single, I don't think they actually mean a lot of maliciousness. I think it's a phrase that's said and a genuine maybe curiosity, like, maybe I have smelly feet. Do my crocs smell?
No. There's no smell here.
Have you been sniffing my crocs?
No, there's no fear of that. No.
So I just think, if there's any like female listeners, I would love to hear it from a male's perspective. So from a female's perspective with dating apps, and I haven't probably bothered with one easily over a year. Just not arse. I hunt in the wild now. I hunt in the wild. I like to sniff them.
with a handful of cheddar cheese.
Yeah. And I make the noise.
Make
Come
the
here,
noise.
My friend.
Make the noise there. What was the noise you called the robin with?
That noise.
Do it again.
If you play the robin will come with cheddar cheese in your hand.
That makes me so horny.
So, it was like ASMR. So, where was I going with that?
You were
hunting in the wild.
You don't go on dating apps, you hunt in the wild.
Oh yeah. So when I was kind of on dating apps, I noticed the trend of guys in their 30s who are looking for a bit on the side, rampant. So the guards need to hire me because I will find out. You know when you see those memes and it's like, I gave my friend the first name and she found like FBI. She got his whole profile. That's me. And I will do a little bit of digging sometimes if something's off. And I'll find out that they have a wife or a pregnant girlfriend. It's like shocking. And so there's a lot of that on dating apps. And then there's a lot of guys who just, you know, want to ride. That's fair enough. Each to your own. And then there is just, yeah, a lot of lads with mountain pictures and like them standing next to a mountain. And I'm like, oh, I give up. And also, all these guys who go hiking, yeah, I go hiking.
I've never put up a picture.
I do have a mountain picture.
Side a mountain. Maybe that's why the apps didn't work for me.
No, I said to my friend Nadia, and she does a lot of hiking. She's on like Everest Base Camp right now. And I said, Nadia, I'm not being funny. All these dating apps with fellas, and they're on these hikes. I go hiking all the time. I never see a young fella up there. Never. It's fake. It's false advertisement.
So a girl told me once she's allergic to mirror selfies.
Oh, okay.
Men with mirror selfies.
Well, men and mirror selfies, they kind of take them at a weird angle. So I can totally get that.
Yeah. From flicking through dating apps, I see an awful lot of women with cans.
Like cans of beer?
Holding up a can, yeah.
Like a can of cider?
A can of beer, a can of cider, whatever.
I love cans.
Right, would that be your dating profile? Because I don't know if I'd swipe that now, to be honest. And then the other thing that lads are challenged with is the majority, and I would say 80%.
Spam accounts?
No. Huh? There's these Asian spam accounts.
Okay.
That I've... So I have a podcast coming up on dating apps soon. And I have an app at the moment and I'm trying to get chatting to one of these Asian bot accounts. Oh, okay.
Like their AI?
I don't know what's going on, but okay. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. So I won't say too much today, but I am trying to get to the bottom of that. And then the other photos they have, 80% of women are wedding photos. Now, can I just say...
Hang on, the woman is married?
No, they're at a wedding.
Oh, they're at a wedding.
So can I just say, right?
Okay.
You've spent 3 days for this photo. There's 3 days work has gone into this photo between tan and hair and makeup
Wedding's
and eyelashes
big
and
prep.
Botox. And you've had 6 months on the old sculpting machine there. And you've been out pounding the road. And then the date comes.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, who's that?
But isn't it bad how even us talking right now, we're judging guys. So the guy on the mountain pic could be a really, really nice guy in real life.
But
dating apps have made me.
I am a really nice guy.
Dating apps have made me so judgy.
So
that you're like,
swipe me. Straight away you go, mountain pic,
no.
He's a dose.
Well, first of all, I don't want to go up a mountain on a Sunday morning. So that's what I'm thinking. Do you know, or like a fella out jogging, I'm like, he'll have me up Sunday morning when I go over jogging around Phoenix Park. It's just I'm not about that.
I'd say 90% of people that put hiking down on their profile are liars.
Yeah.
Love hiking.
And also, I'm afraid to put up my authentic self because my dating profile is I'm an old age pensioner, likes long walks in the woods, loves going to the garden centre, likes to sew. I'm like Mrs. Bouquet. So I'm like, I can't tell the boys I like to do that.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be worse if you were out getting pissed every weekend and losing your handbag and losing your shoes and coming home then saying she's had a great night?
We know her. She doesn't exist anymore. I have been her. Sometimes I am her. Could be her tonight. But
she's lurking around the whole time.
She comes out every now and again.
Does she have a name?
It's a full moon.
Does she have a name?
She does. So any of my followers listening to this who has followed me in like the Snapchat days, I used to always share drunk dainty. And it would be, I would come, so garlic cheese chips in the Macari's in Blanche Village, I'd be giving them debt. And I'd go into, I would not vlog in the chipper. Well, I know I would, but it'd be on like Snapchat or stories. And I had to stop because... I just stopped because people would be messaging me then and I'd have the fear of the God the next day when I wake up.
The fear is so bad.
Yeah, like I delete Instagram off my phone if I go out.
You said something there a second ago, I give them the debt.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Just causing a bit of murder in the chipper.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing like, I wouldn't be getting arrested or anything like that.
You said that in a very, very strong North Dublin accent.
You are on the north side now.
He said,
my
like, give him the murder and the chipper. He's like, what?
Yeah, that's
you, I'd say you turn into a right bastard in the chipper.
Bollocks.
A bollocks.
Bollocks.
I'd say the chipper sees you coming in and
I
go,
skip
oh,
the
here's
queue
this
once,
little
right?
bitch.
No, one day, I skipped the queue one day because everybody was steaming in the chipper, right? Nobody knew what they wanted, right? So I walked in and it was all these drunk people. And I just said, I'll have my usual, I'll have a garlic cheese chips, I'll have a salad burger and I'll have a can of Pepsi tonight, please. And he says, get to the back of the queue. I said, they don't know what they want. I know what I want. Just give me what I want then. And he refused to save me. And he said, I'm not saving you then. I said, all right. And then left. And I went back the next week and everything was fine.
Do you have small woman syndrome?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Jack Russell syndrome. Like, yeah,
like Henry Sellers from Father Ted. How dare they do this to me?
How dare they? Yeah. No, I remember I was in Galway. Galway, I think the fairy. The fairies possession in Galway, right? I was in Galway once with my friend Joanne, just before the pandemic. Actually, it was the January before it all kicked off. Great night. And you know the Supermax?
I do know the Supermax.
On the corner.
I know it very well. Too well,
in fact. We skipped the queue in there as well, right?
Right.
Murder, but my friend Joanne, she's from Tipperary, right? And you wouldn't mess with Joanne either. So I went in, I said, I have two garlic cheese. No, I got the taco chips. Said, two taco chips, two Cokes, skipped the queue. And this big, huge fella. They all start kicking off. And my friend Joanne just goes, will you leave the little girl alone and let her get her chips? In a big tip accent. And that was the end of that. I got saved and there was no fighting then.
That was the end of that.
Yeah.
She was nearly making you out to be this, like, special needs person.
Yeah, she's like, just give the little one her chips and she'll be on her way. Like, you're a good friend, Joanne, there. You saved me. I was going to get, and especially a dub accent in a Galway chipper at 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I'm going to talk about your house here for a few minutes.
Okay, hit me.
I came in to the house. We're in North Dublin, that's all we'll say.
West Dublin.
West to North. Or is it just...
It is North Dublin, but I think they call this West Dublin now because Dublin has expanded. You're actually really close.
Do you call this West Dublin because you don't want to call it North Dublin? Because it is North Dublin.
It is North Dublin, yeah. We're north of the Liffey.
Are you saying like... Are you trying to make it sound like you don't
like
live...
Like it's posh?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the posh part of Blanchardstown.
So I came into your house and estate. I'm not going to say where you live, but the first thing I was greeted with was three lads taking wheels off a car.
They are my brothers.
putting a car up on blocks. So I locked the doors, kept coming down to the end of the estate. You're at the end of the estate in this gorgeous bungalow.
Yeah.
And you're so lucky.
I like to call it a cottage.
All right.
It's not a cottage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a lovely.
It sounds more posh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go with that then. You're in this lovely cottage.
Yeah.
At the end of the road and you're surrounded by trees.
Yeah.
And we sat in your back garden for an hour.
An hour.
All we could hear. Talking shy. Was birds and bees.
So
can't hear any traffic.
No.
Can't hear any buses, sirens.
Well, now, if you wait a bit longer, you will hear sirens. And like sometimes they start, it is a quiet actually, anyone who's looking for a house and they want to live somewhere quiet, if it's a road with bungalows, they're notorious for being older people. So like downsizers love bungalows. So this road... not that there's not a lot of... there is families on this road, but it's generally... It's a hidden gem. Like, it's a really quiet... doesn't there touch wood, never any hassle.
Lots of garden centre enthusiasts in this road.
We do a lot of plant swapping down this end.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, and do you have, like, a little community cleanup group?
No, but, like, I'd mack into Tommy and... Hey, John, I gave him a tray of Cosmos the other day. He'll give me a few plants. Bit of seed swapping, yeah.
A bit of bartering.
Bit of barter.
What is a tray of cosmos?
So it is an annual plant that I sowed from seed. And if you keep deadheading it, it will flower from May until probably October.
And was Tommy Deloira?
Deloira.
Was Tommy like, Jesus, I always wanted a tray of cosmos.
And I have some flowers as well. So yeah.
Well, you know, from following you, you always have this little bogger inside you.
Yeah.
Where does the little bogger come from? Have you lived in Dublin all your life?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up, first of all?
Across the field.
All right.
So like as you kind of drove in, there's like a park the other side. But this would have... So I come from... My mum was a townie. and my dad was County Dublin, but I wouldn't call him. So where I am now, you're really close to Kildare and Meath. I'm on the border of the two. But this area got ridiculously built up from like the late 90s. You got the Shopping Centre and it's like proper, you know, Dublin. But my dad would have been County Dublin, but he was a big Dubs fan. But I would say he was a bit of a culty. And then my mom was a townie. So there, you put them two things together and you get me.
But you come on your story sometimes and you're like... you're going west, or I might go into town and have a steak. where does that come from? But it's very often, like, you do it quite a lot.
I don't know. It's just in me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know where this is.
Maybe it's got, I chat to my friend Joanne like every day and she's from Tip. Maybe I'm picking up something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nearly a Mayo kind of thing you have. Like, it's very west.
I don't think I have any kind of family connections out west. I love going out west though. I went out west last year to do a bit of book signing and I just think there is something chaotic about County Clare. And I went to, actually me and Joanne, that time we went to Galway and then we went to Milltown Mobay in Clare. We stayed in, what's that posh hotel?
The Spanish Armada.
Right. So we were staying there and there was no crack.
It's not the Spanish Armada. It's just the Armada.
Spanish, yeah. Point.
Is Armada? It, the Armada. Yeah, okay.
So we went into the little bar that was in the Armada. And I was like, Joanne, shit crack here. We'll be safe. There's a town around here. So we went to the reception.
Did you just say it's shit crack?
Yeah.
In the Armada Hotel?
Yeah, shit crack.
Okay, I don't think it is, but I think... Like,
is it?
It's supposed to be an absolutely epic place. I've never been there. Maybe you picked a bad night. All right.
In their defense, they gave us crack. So we went to the girl in the reception and we said... So we went on Google Maps and said, sure, where's the nearest town? And there was like Lahinch and Milltown. And I said, Milltown is closer, but how the fuck do we get there? Because we're in the middle of nowhere. Well, went up to the one in reception and she says, this is why I just love that neck of the woods. She's like, oh my God, there's an engagement party down in Milltown. Sharon and John, go on, you can go to that. And I was like, I can't just go to someone's engagement party that I don't know. She's like, oh, you can, yeah, down here. And I was like, okay. I said, come here, we want to go down to the town, how do we get there? And she says, I'll call you a taxi. And then she gave us a piece of paper with handwritten taxi numbers on them. One of them was called like Butch, Mark, John, Luke, 12 apostles or something. And I said, Joanne, what if we get stranded now? It's a good 12 kilometers walk home on a black road, like, be grand. So we went to Milltown. We had an absolute ball. It was January. The road was not a sinner on it. And then you opened the door to the pub and it was like fucking manic. Like, they were doing a lot of trad and everything. So we were bollocks. We went into this pub and it was about 1:30. And I think Joanne got us. I don't drink the Red Bull and vodka, but she handed me one and said, that'll keep you going. I said, keep us going. I said, I don't know how we're going to get home. And we said to your man at the bar, your mum gave us a list of phone numbers. Can you get us back to the hotel? And he's like, yeah, go on, have your drink. I'll call you. There'll be a minivan coming around now in a bit. And he just gave us a nod and we got into this like school bus or something. He brings us back. I was like, where can I get chips? I want chips. And we got back. I said, much owe you for that. Thinking, this is going to be 20 quid minimum, because if this was Dublin, I'm like, 50 quid. A fiver he charges me. I said, this place is epic. And
did you get your chips?
No. Went into the Armada then, and there was crack at that hour, because we walked in thinking we were going to bed, and your man, I wouldn't call him a bouncer on the door, but he was like a
night porter.
Yeah, he ushered us into the bar, and there was like a plate of sandwiches.
Wow.
So
they went above and beyond, anyway, finding crack for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll have to come down to Mayo now and do a few adventures with me.
I think there'd be carnage.
I don't think
I'd make it back.
No, you'll have to come down now. Sure, we'll have the whole place driven demented anyway, people thinking that we're getting married.
Yeah, we should go to like a castle or something and...
Ashford Castle?
Yeah.
Well, if you've the money, I have the time.
Discount on the wedding.
There's loads of cool places. No, do. I'm gonna hold you to that now. Come down for a couple of nights.
You put Mayo on the map now, I have to say.
I love Mayo.
Because Mayo, not being bad, everyone goes to Galway, don't they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And they kind of either go, up or down. Like, they'll kind of go to, you know, Clare.
Everyone goes to the cliffs of Moher, and our cliffs are twice as big.
Better.
Yeah, twice as big.
Twice as
big. I think
big
three times. I think three times bigger.
Jesus.
Than the cliffs of Moher, and nobody knows.
She loves them Mayo cliffs.
We have the highest cliffs in Ireland, and everyone says, you don't, it's Donegal. It's not, it's Mayo.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, do. I'm going to hold you to that this summer. Let's talk about your book.
My book.
So, and it's not an ad for the book, but I'm just fascinated by...
It's actually my book anniversary. She's out a year now on Friday.
A year this Friday? Have you anything planned?
No. Books kind of a... And not that they exhaust you, that's not the term, but a lot of work goes into them. And by the time they make it to the shelf, you are absolutely exhausted. So much happens behind the scenes with books. And I totally understand now how people, you know, it takes a long time to make them.
Are you fully self-taught?
Yeah, like I'll go to workshops. Did you see my little stool in the kitchen?
Yeah.
I made that. The one with camera sitting on it. I'll show you the little wood joints. I made that in woodwork class. Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that on your page. Yeah, you were making dovetail joints. And
yeah, mortise and tenon. Chiseling and all. There's not one screw in that still.
Were you the only girl in the course?
No, there was four of us.
And how many fellas?
Eight or nine. And I did the best stool. I'm just saying that.
I'm not one to blow my own trumpet, but it was toot, toot.
So I have done sewing workshops, and do you know what? It's very hard to find a good craft or trade class kind of in Ireland. Like, you kind of either have to do an apprenticeship.
Never seen one. Yeah.
Like, there's lots of kind of workshops that people will do, but very hard to kind of, unless you kind of go and study art or something.
It's, you made a flower pot out of a Hendrix gin bottle.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get you to make one out of a cookie gin bottle.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to.
The new thing is vases, the glass vases that look like in the shape of books or something.
So how did it all come about? Like, first of all, you have nearly 300,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, like, as far as YouTubers in Ireland, you're up there with the best of
That's
them.
That's mad, isn't it? So it all kicked off. I bought this gaff. All my money went into the deposit. All of the money that I saved up for 5 years was gone overnight. It was your house deposit. You have to pay the solicitor. I had to pay some other fees. And I'd say I had $2,000 left when I walked in here. And I was really naive, and I didn't realise how much a couch would cost and a kettle and a toaster.
Were you working at this stage?
Yeah, I was working. And
in the fast fashion industry?
Yeah, I was a manager, and I hadn't a pot to piss in, excuse my language. And I was like, how do people, I see people buying a house and they're putting all these lovely furnishings in. Like, are they, who did they get like money for it, or did they just save? So basically I was like, oh shit, I refuse to take out a loan for a couch. So I just got lots of secondhand furniture, lots of hand-me-downs from friends. Irish people, we love hand-me-downs and giving people things and looking after them. And obviously I had like loads of secondhand furniture, and I was like, oh, but I want it to look pretty. So then I did a couple of, like, you know, upcycling workshops, and that's when I would paint them to make them pretty. And then that led on to like sewing, and I did sewing classes, and that led on to like doing wood projects and bigger projects. And sure, I build a house now.
The house that Jack built.
Yeah, exactly.
The house that Dainty
master
built.
Master of trades. No, what is it?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
But better than something of none, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know there was another line.
There is another line.
So could you upholster a couch?
No, but I could make you a decent cushion or a cover for, like, or a sofa cover. I'd give it a bash, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried something and you had to pull away from it and go, feck, I can't do that?
I nearly gave up panelling this wall. I did all that panelling last week.
These are very fancy walls. These are like something now you'd see in Westport House, sir.
I did them last week.
Wall panelling.
Do you know what? I struggle with the mats and the measurements and the distance between things.
And what about these 45 degree angles in the corners?
I had to use all of my brain juice to do them. But the thing is, what I love is...
Your brain juice.
My brain juice. I only get a limited amount every day. I have to use it wisely. The thing is, it's good to be like when you don't know something, a lot of people will give up and say, oh, I'm not doing it. I secretly love that struggle. And I'm like, I really want to do it and I want to finish it. But I'll have the creative meltdown in the middle.
Mm.
But I persevere. And it's the feeling at the end. And I'm like, yes.
What do you do to get your creative juice back? Is there anything you do?
Creative juice. The thing with creativity is it actually grows arms and legs. So the more you do, the more ideas come. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But what I do is actually I step back from online because it's very easy to have like your idea or your opinion swayed by what you see kind of online. So I will go for a walk. I'll go to somewhere that's really pretty. Maybe if it's like a cute cafe, or I'll just go somewhere. Hotels have great decor inspiration. But I like to get out and about. That's where I get proper inspiration, is out and about and doing.
And where do you get your ideas? Like a garden chair shelf? Like you just cut a chair in half and stick half of it to the wall and then put the other half on the ground.
Yeah.
Where's that idea come from? That's fairly obscure now.
So, do you know what? I heard a phrase. I don't want to butcher it. I don't fully know. And it was like, the creative adult is the child who survived. And I think creativity is seeing things. So you might see a chair. I see a shelf. It's like taking what you have and just doing it a bit different or something. I know I just had a chair, yeah. And I saw like these chair shelves somewhere. I think it was in like a garden center. Garden centers have great displays as well if you ever need some info. And yeah, I just did it.
And all the photos in your book, you've taken them all?
Yeah, I do all my
did you ever do a photography course?
No.
Wow.
Never done photography. I did an online workshop during the pandemic, I think, for photography. But the thing with a lot of craft is you get your skill from consistently practicing it.
But you're some woman for one woman.
I love the creative end of things, as in, like, I love when someone compliments me on, like, if I edited something really nicely on YouTube, because most people will compliment maybe something you've made or something, whatever. I don't think people realise that there's a good 10 hours of editing that's also gone into that, and photography as well. So when someone is like, that photography was lovely, or that editing was lovely, I'm like, thank you. Because that is like, that's a huge part of the job that I don't think people...
Because even your book cover here, for people that haven't seen your book, it says...
Do you want a funny story about that book cover, actually? I shot that book cover with a tripod upstairs in my bedroom, but like... behind, or so me, I'm facing out, so there's a radiator, and at the time it was full of all my knickers drying and socks. And I was like, if only people knew I'm shooting a book cover but my knickers are on the rad drying. I'm like, there's nothing glamorous to it at all. When I used to think of people having book covers and magazine covers, like the amount of images I've given to magazines, and it's me in a tripod out in my backyard and with the neighbor saying, how are you? There's nothing glamorous.
So when you look at this, you think, right, this was, there was a team of people in here.
No.
There was a makeup artist, there was a hairstylist, there was a photographer, there was somebody on lighting.
No.
And it's you sitting at a wooden table with an old singer on it. That's a vintage singer, is it?
Yeah. 1940,
and
I think.
1940s, you're in a beautiful white dress, and then there's some old dishes hanging up on the wall behind you there. What are they? China?
Yeah. Good old Royal Albert.
Royal Albert.
You would think...
Are they in your bedroom?
I have a teacup cabinet now.
In your bedroom?
Yeah. But if you haven't seen my bedroom, just for the record, anyone listening on this?
I haven't been brought upstairs.
I have a huge bedroom, so there's a living area in it. So I have like a lounge area in my bedroom, then I have a bed, and then I have like a dressing area, and then I have the bathroom.
You have a cabinet with teacups in your bedroom.
Yeah, I have another one behind me.
I see this one here, yeah, and there's teacups everywhere. The feckin' birds are eating out of teacups out in the backyard.
Yeah, I love them.
There's teacups everywhere. But like, why would you have a cabinet of teacups in your bedroom?
You have to see my bedroom. You want me to make the noise?
Bring me, get the cheddar cheese. Put a little slice on every stair. Every stair going up into the bedroom.
But I have like a lounge area up there. It's a It's a good, tis a big room.
You have your TV in this cabinet here on the left in the sitting room.
Yeah, like obviously you open the doors to watch it, but I don't watch much television. Like I would probably watch a bit of Netflix in the evening. That's it.
Okay.
And no TV in the bedroom either.
Where did the 300,000 subscribers come from on YouTube? Did the social media come first or did the YouTube come first?
They both grew. YouTube grew faster than kind of Instagram. And I think because Instagram is a picture and maybe a 10-second story, whereas YouTube, I feel like you get to actually talk to people. So your videos are longer. There's more in a video. You can explain things better. And I think that's where all of the kind of, that's why I think it maybe grew quicker. Whereas Instagram can be a bit superficial. It's like, look at my pretty door or look at this project that I did. And that's it. Whereas on YouTube, you can explain more about your project. And I think people get more, it's more personable or something. Well, it's like podcasts. People, it's like having a chat with someone. And I feel like that's what YouTube can be.
You make things look very easy and you're very relatable.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very easy to watch your videos. Like, at no stage do you want to stop watching.
And that's good. Good for the watch time.
Yeah, it's good for the watch time. And do you get any online trolls or anyone giving you abuse?
Not directly to me. Like, you might get the usual, oh, that's right. All right, maybe.
But do you get anyone saying, oh, you shouldn't be using 80 sandpaper, you should be using 100 sandpaper?
Oh, yeah. The critique and the
experts.
Judgment and the thing. It's not actually too bad. You would expect it to be worse. No offense to men, but men like to hijack your comments section and mansplain. And it's like, no, like John would be saying,
give me an example of one there.
John could be like, you know, why aren't you wearing gloves in the garden? You're going to get syphilis or something. And I'm like, John, that's not how you catch it. Do you know what I mean? You're going to get something from going barehanded in the garden. I said, no, that's comb bare somewhere else to get you that way, John. But not from not wearing gloves in the garden. So it's unsolicited advice. But generally, most people are grand. But I like the internet, I did notice kind of like we've had a really rough time of it, like as a just the world. We've had, like, you know, pandemics, cost of livings, wars. So much has happened in the last like 3 years. No wonder kind of people are cranky. But I think most people kind of click on to a video because they want a little bit of escapism. And yeah, you might guess, like, I don't know what someone has watched before they've stumbled across my video. So let's say Margaret leaves a scaldy, spicy comment. She may have watched something else before me that triggered her, or maybe me just being chirpy triggered her. So I've no control over that. I can just show up as me and that's it. If I've no control over how someone reacts to me.
And I think the big thing is people look at you and you're giving them an eighth of your life.
Yeah.
And they're not thinking about the other 7/8. And they think, well, she's living her best life.
Yeah.
And, oh, sure, that paint company are paying her to paint the press.
Yeah.
But like, you have the same bills and overheads and, and struggles.
Can we just talk about how expensive it is to be single? For a minute.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I hear the government, oh, let's help the families. And it's like, yeah, but what about the single people?
Yeah.
Single people don't have anyone to share the gas top up with. Like, it's expensive to be single. And I don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, oh, great. Here's the grant for the family. Here's a bit off your gas, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, single people supplement, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, actually, they did have a single person supplement, but it was like over 65.
We'd have to call for it to be a disability now at this stage.
Yeah, well, the way people keep sending us DMs asking what's wrong with us, she would think it was. Why are you single? I just don't understand.
B&B Homes make your dream home a reality. We do it all from start to finish. Your one-stop shop to becoming a homeowner. Log on to brbhomes.ie.
Can you see your demographics on YouTube? Can you see where they're tuning in from?
Yeah, and actually what was really cool was when my book came out, we shipped more overseas than we did in Ireland. So there's like books and shops in Ireland. But there is someone messaged me during the week on, your book is in my library in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had somebody message the publisher in like Papua New Guinea or something. And they were like, oh, Amazon won't ship here. How can I buy one? And I was like, that's insane. And we sent like a lot of copies over to America and Canada, the distributor over there. And a lot of books went outside of Ireland, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, YouTube is global. So, like, there is a large Canada, USA, then UK as well, Ireland, Australia, and in random places. But, yeah, it's more kind of global, whereas Instagram is, like, Ireland, UK.
Describe the book to me in 60 seconds.
Don't put me under pressure.
Go on.
If you want to do projects in your house and transform things in your home on a budget, I have 50 projects to hopefully inspire you to flex your creative muscle. And I do have some stuff on like furniture upcycling. I have a section on the garden as well. And I have small afternoon crafts if you want to do a bit of candle making, things like that.
Wow.
And bit of sewing. I have a sewing section as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. And it's called Dainty Dress Diaries. And where is it available?
Nationwide. I've always wanted to say that.
It's available nationwide.
Nationwide.
It's available in every good bookstore.
In all good bookstores. But Bookstation has signed copies left. And there is a good couple of signed copies knocking about in Easons as well. And out west, you shall get some. I went into that cute bookshop. What's the one in Galway? Charlie Burns.
I've never read a book in my life. I don't know. Next question.
I did go to that cute bookshop. So yeah,
in it once actually, and it's an absolutely class bookshop.
Yeah, there's one in town that's like that as well.
It's like something out of a Harry Potter movie, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just, he had a table and the base of it was just a load of books.
Yeah.
With wood on top.
We're going to have to find the name of it now, the proper name of it. Because
is it Charlie Burns?
Charlie Burns Bookshop.
But Charlie Burns, I feel like, is a radio presenter. Or am I thinking of Charlie Bird?
I'm going to Google Charlie Bookshop.
Galway.
Charlie Burns Bookshop.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, and it's available on the Corn Store, Middle Street, Galway. So there, I think we've given it justice now.
Yeah.
Will you come to Mayo and do a book signing?
I'll come to... Do you know what? People see book signings... Like, I did a book signing in town, Easton's on O'Connell Street, and you think, oh, Jesus, that's glam and everything. Now, thank God people showed up, because I was like, no one's going to show up to this.
We've got a cool little bookshop now. I don't know if you... Are you tied into Easton's?
No.
Because we've got a cool little bookshop in Castlebar called the Castle Bookstore.
Oh, okay.
And it's newly renovated, and it's in a really old building, one of the first buildings on Main Street.
Oh,
and
cool.
They had to keep the front of it.
Yeah.
And it's all the original front. And then they've got a tiny, tiny little coffee shop upstairs.
Oh, cute.
But it's class. So yeah. I'm going to have to get you down there.
I'll come. If people want me to come, I'll come.
All right. Well, DM us and let us know. Would you like Catherine to come to Mayo to do a book signing in Castlebar?
And I will do that.
I'll come. I'll be your number one fan.
Number one fan.
Yeah. I know her. I was in her back garden. I saw her hedgehog house.
Not many men can say they have.
That's not code for anything, by the way. She has.
I do have a hedgehog. Yeah. And I have a hole for the hedgehog. The hole is in the gate for the hedgehog.
Right. So there's a little semicircular hole in the gate and it says hedgehogs welcome here.
There's a reel on how I did it online, just in case anyone thinks that's code for me saying something rude.
And then the hedgehogs come in the side of the house to go down the garden, and then you have two hedgehog houses at the bottom of the garden.
Yeah, gaffs.
Let's virtually walk around the garden as well. You've got loads of bug hotels. There's a little bee.
You know what? I just wanted to have, like, you ever watched that movie, Is a Secret Garden or something? Or it was some movie and they walk through a gate and it's just full to the brim of like flowers, and it's not like Dublin. Like you said earlier, like you could be anywhere in the back with like all the trees and flowers and stuff. And like that's like anything could be happening in the world and I can just walk out the back and be like, grand.
I honestly didn't think you could experience a back garden like that this close to Blanchardstown Shopping Centre.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I'm going to do, actually? I'm going to go out and record some audio.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it right now. Right here on the podcast.
Do you want me to do the for the robin?
Yes, please.
We could make like an hour-long YouTube of bird sounds.
Yeah. ASMR of you cutting up the cheese.
But I think a lot of...
You've probably killed four starlings out there with a block of cheddar cheese.
With cholesterol.
Yeah.
A little bit wouldn't harm them.
You'll definitely get somebody mansplaining telling you not to be feeding them cheese.
Once it's not soft, it has to be hard.
You have 100,000 followers on Instagram, 300,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Do you think?
Oh, it's huge. It's hard to get people to hit that subscribe button.
Smash it.
Smash the subscribe button.
And thumbs up.
And give me a thumbs up and give me a comment.
Yeah.
They all help the algorithm, do they?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, any kind of engagement.
So you're a full-time YouTuber.
I am now, but I was, it's not as glamorous as what you think, and you, it's not, it's nothing what I thought. So with YouTube and social media, you obviously see the top 5% who get loads of money. So like, I don't know, James Charles, fucking
Mr. Beast.
All of them people.
Multi-millionaire.
And you're, they're like, oh, they get a million, like, you know, for this. So when you say, oh, I make videos on YouTube, people automatically assume that you're also making a million a month. Well, which you're absolutely not.
I'm not going to ask you how much you're making because none of my business. But I was talking to a man last Saturday who has a craft YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He spends all day, every day, from the minute he gets up until the minute he goes to bed, making things and fidgeting and gadgets. Yeah. He has 400,000 subscribers. He works 7 days a week. And he makes somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500 a month.
Okay.
On his channel. Yeah, no, I'm not asking your business, but I'm just saying people looking in.
People think the effort doesn't outweigh what you get back.
They look at Mr. Beast and then they say, oh, sure, man, Danny down the road there has a YouTube channel. Yeah. He's a millionaire.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to have multiple streams of income. And also, I became self-employed in a time where it wasn't great. Kind of January 2021, I was made redundant and I had a little bit of income coming in on the side. So the LPOP was out the door because I was getting a little bit of income. Granted, it wasn't a lot. And I was like, shit, I now need to work because I don't have anyone to fall back on. Like, I don't have a husband. A boyfriend. Granted, okay, I could rent.
All right, we know you're single. Okay, go on. Stop going on about it.
What's wrong with you? And I was like, shit, I need to make this work. I need to make this happen. It's either sink or swim. I sound like Eminem there, so making it sound really dramatic. But I was like, you have to make this work or you just go get a job and then you like turn your back on it and say, fuck it. So I did. I stuck with it 2021, 22. It's now 2023. And I just kind of, I like once a year we'll go to the accountant and do my end of year and I'm like, how am I? Am I, is this viable? Am I? And he's like, yeah, you're okay. You've made money. You pay your tax bill. Like your bills are paid. But I think there is assumptions around even like the social media stuff. People think if, I think it was Kris Jenner who said this, quoting the Kardashians, but she says you can be popular and you can be poor. It's the people who, it's, you know, I know people think it's icky because you have to do ads and you have to do whatever, but it's either that or I don't do it at all. When I do an ad, it's paying for me. It's paying for the free content that I upload that people enjoy. It's paying for the free YouTube videos. So there, I think there is an assumption because you do see, you know, the other Irish Instagrammers and they have a Chanel handbag and they're going on a Bali trip and they have a first class. See, I think a lot of it is bullshit if I'm being totally honest because I work with companies, I see what kind of money you can get and it's not what people think. It's not. Granted, if you have a million subs, I'd say there is absolutely people out there making serious money, but I think there's a lot of fucking fakers as well. I suppose influence and stuff doesn't really kind of appeal to me. I just like making videos, getting creative, and I work for myself, so sometimes I'll take a 2-hour lunch break. But like that poor fella and his craft videos, I'm up till 10-11 editing a video and I don't share that side because I think sometimes you have to prove to people that you're you're working or something.
You're unbelievable that you can go, first of all, and you can make the stool. Then you can film yourself making the stool. Then you can take a photo of the stool. And then you can edit the video of yourself making the stool and upload it to YouTube.
It would be easier to just have a job.
It like absolutely would. You're fully self-sufficient, though. But
the
amount of skills you have is incredible.
What's that film where he's like, I have an amount of skills? Is it Liam Neeson in Taken?
I have a particular set of skills.
Yeah.
That makes me a very...
That's me.
What does he say? Makes me a very dangerous man.
Insert, a dangerous woman.
Insert clip from film here.
Yeah.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
That's you.
That's me.
You're a female Liam Neeson.
Yeah, so I will find you.
If anyone kidnapped your hedgehog, that'd be you.
Murder. No, I send the boys around that were robbing your tires.
So let's talk about this fella. He actually has 2 million, over 2 million followers on TikTok. 400,000 on YouTube. He's working morning, noon and night, and he's making 30 grand a year.
Oh, really?
He would make more in any other business or company.
People, and also, everyone wants to go viral nowadays. And I'm like, lads, it's not worth the hassle. Honest to God, like, I sometimes say, like, more followers, more problems. Like, because I just don't think people fully understand online and having loads of followers and going viral and the mental impact of that as well, of constant messages and, you know, there has to be like a balance and boundaries.
Yeah, I really fear for kids growing up now.
Oh, I do too. We had
I don't know if you had a phone. I didn't have a phone in school.
I got a phone. I got a Siemens phone for my confirmation, but it was text. You had 150 text characters or whatever.
Can you remember, was it a Siemens C85?
Something like that. It was little.
Yeah.
And it had a little antenna.
Yes,
Then I remember, I think I was working at the time. It was £200, the pink Motorola flip phone. Do you remember?
That's when you had Notions altogether.
That was, I had to wait until it got cheaper to buy it.
Was like buying the new iPhone 14.
Yeah. And it was like 200. And
so you ended up buying that off the buy and sell,
Say. That was, I got a dodgy one, your man, it come around selling door to door,
Damo was like, you want to buy a Motorola?
And what, the flip phone, if you had a flip phone and you could hang charms off the antenna thing, there was a charm thing. Oh, but do you often wonder, our age bracket? We know two worlds and we're kind of lucky because we know a world where you had to make cardboard dollhouses. There was no phones. You knocked on the door for your mate. I didn't have a telephone growing up. So you had to walk to your friend's house. You'd have to knock. Are you coming out to play? No, all right, walk home. Grand, get sweets in the shop. And then as well, as a teenager, even the Facebook days, do you remember going on a night out with a actual digital camera? Because your phone didn't have a camera.
Yeah.
And I love photography and I would upload a Facebook album on a Sunday morning, absolutely hanging. And I was 19, 20. And thank God those images are not to be found anywhere.
Oh, it was such a good time though.
But they were innocent times and they were not even innocent. But you never feared getting cancelled the next day or doing something stupid. Because humans do stupid things, end of.
Do you know what I hated, right? First of all, you would go out with a camera that you couldn't see the photos.
Oh,
so you went out and you took the photo and you didn't know until you got them developed if they were going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
And then digital cameras came along and then you'd take a photo and then people would be like, show me.
Oh, yeah, show me.
And that's when I stopped bringing out the digital camera because you were all going, no, I don't like that one. No, I don't like that one. And the crack you were getting from getting the film developed.
I remember going to a Westlife concert and I had disposable things and I was dying to get me photos from you had to go to the chemist to leave in.
We need to try and bring that back.
Oh.
We should revive those disposable cameras.
I have an Instax, but it's not the same. But I do think we've gone kind of, my niece wouldn't know that. She wouldn't know them days where...
I saw a child once getting a magazine and they started flicking the
Yeah.
Flicking the page.
My niece did
with
that
her finger.
To my laptop screen. She was trying to make the laptop move.
With her finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh girl, that's not touchscreen.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder as well, when we hopefully, if we're lucky, make it to, let's say, 80, what do you think will the world be like? Because so much has happened so quickly.
Yeah.
In our lifetime. So what will the world look like when we're 80?
Can I be honest with you? I spend more nights awake worrying about the world.
Do you?
Yeah. That I don't even want to talk about it. Because
if you...
You go online for half an hour before bed, you watch the news. Oh, the American banks are crashing, the world is gone. And then you go...
But do you think though, so from my perspective, so I have a website as well where I have like some projects and, you know, I remember listening to, not a podcast, but it was an audiobook and it was about attention spans and fragmented attention. And he was saying that... if you have a negative word in your title for a YouTube video or an article online, you will get X amount more clicks. So like disaster, you see like Daily Mail and it'd be a simple story and be like disastrous, blah, blah, blah. Man saves people from tumble dryer, you know. And you'll read it, it's like, that's just, why are you getting on a horn for it? Why are you getting on a horn? And I think... all these media companies had us by the balls in 2020 with pandemic. Like I'd be on that nuked fucking waiting to see how many cases were on. And they had us by the balls. And I think they saw all the revenue that flooded in from us being fearful. And they're just trying to keep it. I do think shit things happen in the world, they do. But if we all dwelled on it,
yeah,
it'd just be sad. But do you know what I think? I think AI is going to be a huge issue for us going forward.
It's going to be scary.
Now, I think AI will be good to a set. But if you think about it, right, I can shout and say, hey, Google, blah, blah, blah. Like when we were kids, that would never have crossed their mind.
No.
That you would have... Someone shared something. Was it you? And it was like a Tesla that orders parts for you.
Yeah.
And it was like, imagine checking your bank account. Like a Tesla order. No.
A Tesla orders parts. Imagine checking your bank account and you've ordered a set of tires. I'd die.
My car is 16 years old, I think. She's scrap, but she's great.
Do you ever talk about your car online? Does anyone know what kind of car you have?
I just have a Beetle, but she's class.
Well, like...
She's classic.
As I was driving up, I was thinking, if there's any type of car this lady has, it has to be a Beetle.
Yeah.
Possibly a Mini. The lid comes off.
The lid comes off, and it's... So sometimes I could do having a van or just something bigger because... Like I'd be bringing home strips of wood or I'd have a tree hanging out the back or a huge pot, but you can take the lid off and lift whatever you need in. And then like I've often drove home on the M50 and I'd have like be strapping wood in to keep it from going. But yeah.
Where does it go? It's a soft top. It folds
soft
back. Folds back into it.
Yeah.
So you go to the garden centre, you fold back the lid and have an old beech tree hanging out coming home.
Flying down the within speed limit, down the M50,
or an old flat pack chest of drawers,
An IKEA thing. you can tell I've done this.
I'm just thinking a Mr. Bean comes to mind.
Have
a four poster bed sticking out the back of it.
I once bought
soft top Beetle,
an upcycled. Well, I bought it upcycled years ago. It was a telephone seat. You know, like there's like a little chair and then one side is like a little drawer and you sit in a telephone seat. Not a lot of young people would know what a telephone seat was. And I took the roof down and I sat it in the back and like drove. It was only about 10 minutes down the road, but still. I was like, oh, if the guards catch me, you know, drawing attention to yourself.
Wow. Do you have a little vase, a little flower holder?
I do, and I have, it's not the original, but I do have a sunflower in it. It's not the original one. That came with, when I got that Beetle, it was missing the daisy. And I asked for money off because it was missing the daisy.
Where does the daisy go?
Someone robbed it, I think.
What do you mean the daisy?
So the daisy is unique to, so you know Volkswagen Beetle, there's a vase and a daisy or a sunflower. That's like unique to that car. Like that's married to the car and someone had taken the original daisy.
Oh.
So I had to get a new daisy for it.
I just thought it was a vase holder. You put your own daisy into.
No, you put like your Volkswagen.
There's Volkswagen daisies.
Yeah.
Do they sell them?
They actually do, because my brother is a mechanic and he said, you know, that's actually a part that you can like order from Volkswagen, is a daisy for your Beetle.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a funny story about why I was late?
Please do.
No, I wasn't too late. I'm usually much worse. Was I 10 or 15 minutes late?
He was 10 minutes
late. 10 minutes late. Now, okay. That's not too bad.
That's fine.
I consider that quite good. So you said you would get the donuts.
Yes, Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme donuts. And I only had my first one about 3 weeks ago in Galway.
Really?
Yeah, had the normal one. It was nice. And then I had lovely chocolate one here this morning. So thank you. So I said, right, well, I'm not going to get sweet things and bring them over. So I said, I know she likes flowers. She'll probably be sick of flowers, but I'm going to get them anyway as a token thing. So I put into Google, I was researching this morning flower shops near Dainty's house. And it came up flowers by Ali.
Okay.
And I got lost.
Okay.
And then I went, oh, I don't know, miles over there into another estate where they were taking the wheels off cars. And I eventually found flowers by Ali. And it's closed down.
Google, I hate when they don't update.
Yeah, but it says on Google that she's open, in-store shopping, closes at 6 o'clock.
Where is, I'm going to have to Google where Flowers by Ali is.
Oh, opened at 10, so maybe she wasn't open.
So Alan arrived with some flowers and my first instinct was, I said, Alan, did you rob them?
Yeah, you said, did you rob them?
Did you rob them?
Because I had to go into a spar.
He's after bringing me garage flowers.
I am. And I was like, I spent all morning looking for a florist to get a lovely, fancy bunch of flowers. And this Flowers by Ali is in the back of, it's like an Asian restaurant or something in Clonsilla Village. And I was like, what?
I don't even know where that is.
And there's a huge gate. And I was like, I'm not even sure if this is
Were you up there? Was there a builder provider?
I was above in Clonsilla.
Oh, was there, over there, a yellow wall? A supermarket?
Yeah, there was a yellow wall.
Yeah, there's a builder in there.
There was Joe's Barbers. You know where Joe's Barbers is?
No, I don't know.
Just beside Joe's Barbers. That's where Ali does the flowers. But she has only one review on Google. So I don't know if she's at it full time or if she's taking it serious. But anyway. So I had to go in next door to a spar and buy a shitty little
You brought garage flowers to the Botanic Gardens of Blanchard's.
I did, because I didn't want to come empty handed. So I'm really disappointed at myself.
You could have just robbed a bunch from like Tommy's garden.
Do you want to know how much those flowers were?
I'm going to guess.
I shouldn't tell you.
A tenner,
yeah?
Yeah.
18 euros.
Oh my God, you got robbed.
I nearly shit my pants.
No.
I nearly said keep them.
She looked at you and put the price up.
She looked at this fella and goes, he's a culshie.
Yeah.
He has already tried flowers by Amy.
She pocketed 8.
And she was like, I'll ramp this up.
No, she pocketed 8. I'm telling you that now. She's going to have a point on you later.
They're all laughing about me now, aren't they?
Yeah, you are done. Saw you coming. I'd ring the guards. You are robbed.
They're laughing their holes off in that spar at me, aren't they?
Robbed. I'd put a report in on the way home.
So I'm sorry that I that's what I came with, and I'll do better next time.
That's okay.
But I genuinely did try to find a florist in this area on the way.
And that's hilarious.
That's my story.
You got robbed.
Sorry. I got robbed.
You didn't rob the flowers, they robbed you.
What's the plan for the future? Are you doing another book?
I would like to, but like I said about books earlier, Jesus. Like, I'm really good at doing things, photographing things, filming things. But see, when it comes to sitting and writing and explaining how to do things, I find it much easier for me to show you how to do something. So when you have to sit and write about how to do something, my brain really kind of, not struggles with it, but it does struggle with it. So books are some, and also another thing about books, people think, you release a book, you must be rich. Yeah. Unless you're writing Harry Potter books, there's not much in books. Like, I would actually make more money from a month on YouTube than I would from like a book advance or book sales. Like, there's nothing in books. I suppose like you do them because it's all your work in this one little thing. And again, I like the idea of a book because it's offline. I find like if you go look at a YouTube video, or maybe you look online to Pinterest for something, you find yourself scrolling down a rabbit hole. There's so many distractions. Whereas there's a lot to be said for a good book that you can just like, right, there you go. There's a project. I'm going to sit with this. My phone is away and I have no distractions. There's no pop-up ads on a book.
Yeah.
And it's another way I think connecting with your audience. But like you could have like a huge amount of followers, but I think you'll always have that core group of followers that really support you. And they're the ones who will listen to a whole podcast or watch a YouTube video till the end and buy your book. And it's kind of like another way of, I suppose, connecting with them, I think.
Yeah. This yoke here, this big unit.
Yeah, that's upstairs.
What is that?
That is an old writing desk.
An old writing desk?
Yeah. I currently have my knickers in it now. Storage.
It has an oriental kind of look to it.
Yeah.
So what did you do with that? You sanded it down and put flowers on it.
That actually broke my heart, that project, because it's like veneer. Another thing with the internet is people go mad when they see you painting wood. And I'm like, a lot of time, like, it's like, oh, here, the wood brigade. Are you? And then it's like, I just think I will stain some stuff. Like my little stool outside, I'm going to stain that because it's lovely wood. Some wood is shit. And there's a lot of like MDF and particle board and fucking a lot of veneer. It's not even real wood.
It's just like a layer of wood. It's just a layer.
And you'll have
MDF.
Someone being like, why are you painting that? I'm like, because it's fucking MDF, like pretty much. And like, no, that's Rossmore. That's da da da. And I'm like, it's chipboard. Stop annoying me. Like, I'll do what I want. So yeah, that broke my heart because that's fake wood. And I sanded it back too much. So I had to paint. The reason why there's some white trim was to hide some damage on it, but she looks good in the end. And that is where you learn. And I think we're afraid to make mistakes because we look on, you know, online and we see really pretty things, perfect start to finish, and we're afraid it's not like it's very easy to compare your middle to someone's end. Even in my woodwork class, my teacher was doing the dovetails and I was trying to do mine. And I'm like, how are you comparing yourself to a man who has 30 years carpentry experience and is teaching a class? And you're comparing your dovetail to his. You've done two classes. Like, stop. And I think it's really, that happens a lot, I think, on the internet. It's very easy for someone to kind of maybe look at my page who has just bought a house and is like, oh, I'm never going to, you know, have it like that. But what they don't see is all of the years and time and mistakes that are made that go into things. Making mistakes, I hate doing them, but you'll always learn. And that's how you learn.
Do you get a lot of brand offers?
Not really. I have had a good run of it actually the past month, but I'm very picky with brands, and I know every influencer says I'm very selective with who I work with, but I actually am. And I turn down an awful lot, and I try to, and you know what, I try to work with brands that are sound as well, that they're like,
that they allow you to be yourself.
Yeah. And thankfully anyone who I've worked with where they're like, oh, will you say this, I'm like, no, I won't. So thankfully it's like they come to me because they like the content that I've already done and they want some of that. Anyone who's kind of, they give me the ick, I won't work with them. I'll walk away from money, no problem, because peace is more priceless than having money and working with a company that's difficult. And there are a lot of companies out there who treat you like a commodity or something, and they think it can be quite, I compare some brands to toxic boyfriends. So some brands might reach out to you and then you they'll ghost you. So like you'll say, oh, here's the price for this, or I'm willing to do this for that, kind of like texting a guy, well, obviously not as official, and then they'll just ghost you and then pop up 6 months later and be like, oh, hey, actually, would you do that for us now? And it's like, no, because you're just,
yeah, I've got an extra 100,000 followers since then, but yeah, you also ignored
it's
me
like
for 6 months.
We need to renegotiate the terms, and the communication is very poor.
Yeah. Do you have a pair of Snickers?
No, but I have a pair of Dickies, which are like work what you, it's very, you can't get really get Snickers for girls that are cute, but I have a pink pair of dungarees. They're Dickies, they're workwear too,
and have they loads of pockets in them.
They've like an abundance of pockets.
Isn't it amazing how horny women get for Snickers pants?
Oh my god. So Snickers, Do you know what? I think it's like, can I tell a single woman of Ireland a little secret?
Yeah.
Go to any deli counter at 10:30 because that's when they get their morning break. So if you want, I time my coffee, especially.
Hang on now, hang on. Welcome to this week's episode where we give you top tips for perving on men.
Creeping.
In workwear.
Yeah, go to a spa, an Apple Green, wherever it is that you're kind of near. If there's a lot of vans in the car park, you're in the right place. So you just need to go in, but make sure you're in the middle of the queue. Don't wait for them to kind of, you know, don't be at the end of the queue. Be in the middle of that. You got one in front of you and one behind you. And they'll be ordering like sausage rolls and whatever. So you get whatever you need. And that is a little tip. 10:30, sometimes it can be 10, but for anyone who's like in Dublin, see the industrial estates, like that Ballycoolan one, full of like tradespeople and all that factories. That's where they do be at.
And what, and you just get a kick out of being surrounded by men in Snickers pants?
If that's your kink, there's a way of fulfilling it on the free. If you want to have a look at boys in Snickers.
What do you do then? You just come home and you just go, that was lovely.
Just satisfied. Just get a coffee and that was grand.
Wow.
Another thing women have a kink for.
I think if men did that, we'd be arrested.
Yeah. But I'm not doing that. I'm wrong. I'm just getting a chicken roll at 10:30 with all the boys in Snickers.
Right.
Another thing women go absolutely mad for, and I get it now, boys in cotton bottoms. So like grey sweatpants.
The grey sweatpants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand that as well. I'm like, okay, it's the cleavage.
It's the what?
Downstairs cleavage.
You can see a bulge.
You can see, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, which you wouldn't get that with a Snickers. But.
Wow.
Yeah. So girls like Snickers. I don't know why girls like Snickers. I think it's because it's a man doing something manly.
And then the grey joggers is a man doing something.
Jogging. The grey sweatpants thing I think is you can see what's there. Yeah, I think that's why.
Wow. I'm absolutely blown away. So you see a man in grey joggers and you instantly look down at his Mickey.
Yeah. And I would try not to. I'd try look him in the eye and my peripheral vision would be... I'd look him in the eye, but I can see. Does that make sense?
There we are, Mickey.
So it's like I can tell if a boy's looking at your boobs, he's looking at your eyes, but I know his peripheral vision, I have a hoodie on. His peripheral vision can see your boobs. You can tell if a boy is. I can tell. So yeah. Do boys have any kinks for women? Probably.
Like, yeah,
what's
sure.
The Snickers equivalent for females?
I know lads that are mad into like jogging pants.
Like a yoga bottom.
Yeah, like yeah, absolutely go bananas for it.
Yeah.
Like they'd nearly want her to wear it on a Saturday night.
I'm not
one of them now. No, but I know.
One of my friends said that anytime she wore.
I have one.
So anytime she wore those leather leggings.
Happy days.
She was like her husband, she wouldn't make it out at all. He was like, oh, the leather legging.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, they'd be up there for me, definitely. And also, do you ever hear of Freddy's jeans?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, they're the ones that have like contouring on the bum.
They give you an arse. If you've no arse at all.
Yeah. I've never tried them.
They give everyone an arse. I'd nearly wear a pair of them myself. And you don't really see them as often. There was a trend of Freddy's jeans. Now, Freddy's leather pants.
Do it for you.
I'm dead. I'm on the floor. If there was somewhere now, if there was a deli counter where I knew there was going to be women with Freddy's leather pants on at 10:30 in the morning.
Unfortunately, I don't know where you can find that. Anyone who's listening, please let us know if you go around about that time and you find boys in Snickers. I really want to know.
And where will I find a female equivalent?
Slide into Alan's DMs.
Of
and
leather
say,
Freddy pants.
Where would you find that?
Where would I find that? You won't find that during the day.
People turn a blind eye to me creeping on boys in Snickers, but if you do it, you're a pervert.
I'm a total pervert.
Like, yeah. There's double standards.
Yeah, you're allowed to follow men around. You're allowed to
follow them around the deli.
You're allowed to drive through car parks looking for white vans. And then you park up at the white vans and walk into delis to buy sausage rolls that you don't want just to get a little bit horny beside men with Snickers.
Yeah, and if a man did that.
And is there any... Is there any other features? Like, do you like them? Do you like biceps? What else are you looking for? Do you like their hair a particular way? Do you like them to smell like a can of WD-40?
A bit of links off them.
A bit of links?
Bang a links.
You don't want them smelling like sawdust?
Oh, I don't mind a bit of, like, an old chippy.
You wouldn't mind rolling around in the sawdust?
Don't mind that, like.
No.
I'm trying to think where else. I seen this thing kind of going around on Instagram and it was like, oh, if you're give up the dating apps and go to the DIY store and look confused. And that kind of, I was like, no, because chaps in the DIY shop, they're not the ones you want. Like,
oh, they're know-it-alls. They're, yeah, they're nerds. Like, they're
Or they're not.
They're wannabes.
DIYers.
They're wannabes.
So I was like, no, that's my thing. If you want to have if you want to find your flat with the Snickers, go to the garage. Between 10 and half 10, I believe they take their morning break.
Right. And come here, how's that working out for you?
I'm still single. And I haven't been arrested.
Maybe you need to just stop being creepy. Maybe the men of Dublin know you're a creep.
So on St. Patrick's Day, I was in town with my friend. And then we met up with some other friends. It was a gang of us. And I kissed a fella for the first time this year. And I looked back on reflection. I was like, it was St. Patrick's Day in town. I was mad. It was wild. And I was like, how did that even happen? Because I don't even know if I like said hello to him or something.
You just randomly shifted some fella.
At the bar at 4 o'clock in the afternoon of a St. Patrick's Day.
And sure, you weren't even allowed by a drink at that time of the day.
No, they opened up at 3. No, the pubs were open. It was the off license.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got a sneaky shift at the bar.
And I was like,
at 4 o'clock in the day.
I think my words were, giz away. I think. Because I was like, how did that escalate like that? Because that wouldn't happen now on normal times. I think it was just St. Patrick's Day.
Giz away.
Giz away. Yeah. Nunfla. Giz away.
If you said that to me, I would say, take all my money. I've not. Are you robbing me? What's happening here? Am I being mugged?
Giz away.
Giz away.
Yunfla. Giz away. Yeah.
Where means a shift.
Yeah. Would you say shift? I wouldn't say shift.
Well, no woman has ever said to me, give us a shift. Ever.
So the
ever.
As teenagers, we'd say a common thing in Dublin was like, will you meet me, mate?
Yeah, will you? Oh, no, we would say, will you shift my friend?
Will you shift my friend? Yeah. Sounds very posh.
That's what we would have said.
Will you meet me, mate?
Will you shift my friend? That sounds posh.
It does sound posh, yeah.
No. So anyway, this booking on St. Patrick's Day, where did he end up? Did you get his digits?
I think he was a Brit.
Oh.
That's scandalous, isn't it?
Disgusting.
I don't think he was Irish.
You disgust me.
So I...
Stick to your own, Catherine.
I know. I'm really bad at it. Like, messaging boys as well. Like, see all that, oh, hi, how are you? I'm grand, leave me alone. Like, all this text tennis back and forth kind of with guys. I don't have the... That's why I am single. I don't tell boys what I do. I just say... What is it I say? One guy, I told him I was an accountant. Because I saw this thing and it was like, I think it was on TikTok. I don't have TikTok. I wait for things to become popular on Instagram and they're from TikTok. And it was like, I'm an accountant. And she was like, it was a song. And she was like a stripper. And she was like, when people ask me what I do, I say, I'm an accountant. No one asks you what you do when you're an accountant. So then I was like, oh my God, I'll just tell people I'm an accountant.
Are you a stripper?
No, no OnlyFans here. And then I told someone when I was drunk once that I make videos on the internet. That didn't go down well because he thought they were dirty videos. No. I was like, oh, I make videos on the internet. No, that didn't go well. And then, no, whenever I just tell people, sometimes I'll tell people like, oh, I'm a photographer. I'm not. Well, I am, but I'm not.
You know, the videos on the internet thing, that's probably for another day. I could talk to you all day long and yeah. I think we could have a weekly podcast.
Yeah.
That would be epic crack. but I was talking to a fella this week who's doing a podcast with a girl who does videos on the internet. And her worst month...
Nudies?
Her worst month was 23,000.
Wow. Today is World Naked Gardening Day, and I did suggest it to Alan. But no. I was thinking, like...
No.
I wonder, like, could you... Like, is there a market for, like, naked niche? Because, like, getting your titties out, right? Everyone does it. I imagine they kind of all look the same eventually.
Can we just clear this up? Like, Catherine just asked me to take my titties out in the back garden and hold up a bag of spuds.
Over his bits. The foliage of the spuds would cover his bits.
Hmm. You see, I'm very self-conscious. I don't think I could.
The neighbours can't see in. Yeah. I won't look.
And what will we do with the photo?
You have to put it on your Instagram so everyone else can have a little look.
Oh, I'm putting it on my page.
Because it's World Naked Gardening Day.
I'll do it if you put it on your page.
You couldn't naked garden.
And you say...
Yeah, World Naked Gardening Day.
You say something like, I'm just after finding this...
Spuds out.
Just after finding this weirdo in my back garden. please share. There's a lunatic on the loose in Northwest
Alan
Dublin.
Alan has his tender seedlings out in my garden. He's frostbit.
There's a fella trying to sow seeds. Plant spuds.
Planting spuds, sowing seeds. Now, where were we going with that? We were telling people what we...
You were telling people it's World Naked Garden Day.
Oh, yeah, because of niche nude content. Like, I don't think I... I think I'm past the point of getting my tits out on the internet for money. I don't think there's a market for it. I think just wholesome YouTube content is enough.
Did you ever hear of cash pigs?
Is that where someone sends you money and you insult them?
Yeah.
I could do that.
Could you? Right. So if anyone wants to be a cash pig for Catherine.
So they send me money and I say, that's not enough.
You say, you're a piece of shit sending me 50 euros.
I only deal with four figures.
I only deal with thousands.
50. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't be a pathetic little piece of shit sending me 50 euros.
Find a fin dom.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, same thing. You absolutely drain them of all their money. And they're at home delighted with life.
What is...
Some fella at home pulling the plums of himself with not a penny. Loving life.
The internet is such a weird place.
I don't know. But yeah, hey, look, I'm down for it. I'm here for it.
Her worst one... But I watched a documentary on... OnlyFans, or it was these girls. It was actually an Irish documentary, and I think it was on like the Virgin Player or something like that. And it was Irish people. There was a guy on it, and
this fella from Dublin. He was on the Late Late Show.
Is he like blondie-ish? Yeah, or muscly,
and a big beard, and he's always chopping wood.
Yeah,
he's so dry, that fella.
But apparently, I was like, shit, that's a really tough job. He used to constantly message everyone back. It was a like around the clock job. You would have to have people helping you and have multiple phones to kind of reply to everyone who's
like
paying
you. He's carved out of stone. Like he's absolutely
But I think
perfect.
He actually has sex on his OnlyFans, I think, because...
With his girlfriend?
Yeah, doesn't he?
I've no
I
idea.
I think they said it in the
I
thing.
Just saw him being interviewed. He was on the Late Late Show or something, and I just thought, oh my God. It's a good job you're beautiful because you're so dry.
My tits are starting to look a little bit National Geographic now with age. So I think...
What does that mean?
They look like tits you'd see in the home ec book or the biology book. They're not ones that you'd pay for. Like, you could probably, you know, girls sometimes do like the pencil test. So we'll lift our diddy and we'll stick a pencil in to test how droopy it is.
No, I have never heard of the pencil
You've
test.
Never heard? Okay, so.
So depending on the amount of pencils you can get in there.
Yeah.
Is how
there was a really funny video on Instagram. I will find it because I think I saved it and I sent it to the girls in the group chat. And it was this woman and she was literally lifting things with her boobs. And she lifted up like a clothes horse or something, and I sent it to the girls and I was like, she's a legend. But yeah, the pencil test.
Right.
So we can get like the whole pencil case under there now.
This has been absolutely mind blown.
Yeah. What weird things do guys do that girls don't know about?
I don't I don't put a pencil anywhere.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't put a pencil under my testicle to see how droopy it is.
Yeah.
What weird things do guys do
that girls don't know about?
I don't know. I honestly can't think of anything. We trim the garden, like. You trim the garden to make it look a bit bigger.
Do boys swing it around like a helicopter?
Some boys have that luxury. I don't think I've ever been able to swing it around like a helicopter. A baby helicopter, maybe.
I've often wondered, like, if I had one for a day, what would I do with it? I'd swing it around.
I've often wondered what I'd do with boobs for a day.
Are you touching them all
day? Oh, I'd be rubbing them all day long.
You'd be doing the pencil test.
Oh, I think I'd be rubbing them. I'd be rubbing them lovely boobies, and I'd be rubbing oil into them, and I'd be, oh, jeez, they're lovely boobies.
No, if I had a Mickey for a day, I'd just swing it around like a helicopter, I'd say. All day.
You go around the house doing the helicopter all day long.
Swinging it.
But you'd pull a muscle.
Sometimes if I have a dressing gown on and it has, you know, the rope, then the tie, I can swing it around.
And do you pretend that's a Mickey?
Yeah, well, you know. But that's what I would do if I had one for a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has been a very insightful podcast.
The wheels have come off. We've gone off topic.
It's time now to say goodbye. Because God only knows what will come out next. But we have to do this more often.
Yeah, we do.
We definitely need to do this more often.
Yeah. You did creative stuff. Like, didn't you do, like, video-y stuff?
Yeah, so I did video production. So I done music videos, corporate videos, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. And now you're full-time.
I'm going to try and... So I'm a podcaster now, and I'm going to try and be a YouTuber next. Mm-hmm. That's my next thing. What advice would you give me starting out on YouTube?
Have a topic and be consistent.
My topic is going to be travel-related content.
Storytelling and consistency. And I always talk to the viewer. Like, that's my second person who I'm talking to. So if you have, you know, a vlog or whatever, always make sure the person watching, you don't have to, just make them feel like they're included. So I always kind of ask, you know, for how they're getting on in their garden or whatever, and I talk to them.
What percentage of your video would be a voiceover as opposed to you talking to the camera?
Depends on the
project
topic, but I would say 60-40, 60 voiceovery stuff, especially with DIY things, because people want to see the thing. And the same with the garden as well. And then there are people who will watch. So I often get people saying, like, if you just put up a video of you talking, I would watch it. So you have to have a balance between, you know, that viewer and then the viewer who just wants to see what you're doing. So I would say 60-40. So you have your nice B-roll and your pretty things. Because you're going to get people who stumble across your videos because they searched for you. So you're going to, someone might be like, oh, DIY wall paneling. And then they watch your video, but then they see, like, you have, like, a personality. You're not just, like, a how to panel a wall video. And then you'll have your regular viewers who want the chats. So a balance of both.
Do you think I have what it takes to be a YouTuber?
Absolutely. I think the reason why a lot of people give up is because YouTube can be a slow burner. And it's not like the other platforms. Like, you can go viral on TikTok and you can go viral everywhere. But going viral doesn't mean you're getting good, like, quality engagement and building relationships with people. You can get a flood of people seeing your stuff and then they all disappear then overnight. Whereas when you consistently do something, like, the amount of regular viewers I would have who would have the chats every week checking in on a Thursday, and that's what you want. You want a consistent community. Some people are like, oh, like, that's so old school, but YouTube has been around. It was one of the first big platforms and it has stayed consistent, and it's also the only one who actually rewards its creators by paying them. I've never gotten a cent off Instagram. I've never gotten a cent off Facebook, Pinterest, nothing. The only way you get paid is, you know, by working with people. And that YouTube is the only platform still to this day. Now, I know some Facebook things you can get Facebook Watch or whatever, but they're still the only one that actually rewards creators and gives them an incentive to create.
And properly reward them. Because yeah. I know on TikTok, if you get 2 million views, you can get €60 or something if you sign up for the TikTok creators.
Which, like, 60, and if you had 2 million views on a long form video on YouTube, 2 million, you'd probably get like 10 grand for that video cash.
And when you say long form, does that mean people wait for the middle ad and the end ad?
If anything more than 10 minutes.
Well,
Yeah. Anything more than 10 minutes.
Okay. Right, I'm going to go and do it.
Isn't there a lot to be said, though, when no one ever asks, everyone asks you, are you dating? Who are you seeing? Oh, I wish you would settle down with someone. But no one ever asks you, have you got good friends? Have you got, like, you know, good people and friendships? And in my single season, one thing that I really appreciate and pour into is having, like, your friendships.
Yeah.
And that day when we were going into town on St. Patrick's Day, I was with my friend Adele. She was also single. And she's like, you know what? There's a lot to be said for having good, genuine friends who, right, you might not have a fella, you might not, whatever, but you've good friends that you can have, like, proper chats with, not superficial shit. And I was like, that's not kind of, we put this emphasis on finding the one, but I don't think there is a one for you. I think there's a many people for you. Not this particular, look, imagine I was like, Alan is the one. The fucking pressure you would feel to be everything to me. That's like not fair to kind of put that all on someone. I think if you have multiple kind of relationships, friendships and stuff, that's how you kind of fill yourself up. I think putting the pressure on to be someone's all and everything is too Disney and it's too much pressure. And I think maybe that's where dating, people's expectations might be too high maybe.
Possibly. But yeah, I don't think I'd be your one. I think you'd scare the shite out of me.
Good.
I think I think I'd be afraid of getting bed up in a chipper with you at 2 o'clock.
No, I'd protect you, Alan.
So somebody would pick on me and you'd hammer the shite out of him. And I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, take that.
Do you have rough chippers in Mayo?
I couldn't tell you the last time I was in a chipper at 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I was in Sligo a few weeks ago. It wasn't rough. No, I don't know where the food was coming from. That was rough.
Oh, I seen that.
Wasn't that rough?
Oh, that was rough.
Hey, were you ever in a chipper and you can't hear where the food's being cooked?
And it just appears out of nowhere?
It just comes out a hole.
That's sketchy.
Oh.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, no, we do. We have had chippers in the past. That have had nicknames. Better not name them now.
Because you get in trouble.
Get in trouble, yeah.
Yeah.
One was called Blue Murder.
That's what I cause.
That's what?
That's what I cause in the chipper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But one of those words was also the name of the chipper.
Oh, okay.
Abracadabra was another one.
We have one of them too in the village.
All right, listen, thanks a million for the chat. It has been amazing.
Thanks for having me.
And it's definitely going to be the first of many. Hope, if I can afford you. All right, thanks a million.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by B.O.R.B. Homes. B.O.R.B. Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let BRB Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.